Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Kiervu. Not joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. Jamie's busy. It's like her busiest day of the year doing her charity golf outing. Hit her up on Twitter. She'll tell you all about it. But we're still here to talk some Packers football. Excited. For those of you who want extra Railbird Central, we've got it today. At 9 a.m. Central Time, Tyler Dunn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is going to give us the lowdown on Eddie Lacy's toe injury. If you haven't seen it yet, recently published article just hit last night, I think. Probably in today's paper, though, about Eddie Lacy explaining this toe fusion surgery he underwent that's been such a hot topic and apparently a reason why other teams passed him up in the NFL draft. So at 9 a.m., we're going to get Tyler Dunn on the phone, and he's going to give us the lowdown. But it's freshman orientation with Professor Kiervu this morning. Little bit of a play on words here is it's rookie orientation camp in Green Bay starting today. Well, actually, the players arrived in Green Bay yesterday. You might have seen them taking to Twitter themselves, the rookies, as exclaiming, "I'm in Green Bay!" So for the first time, they're coming to Green Bay, and they got in yesterday, probably spent the night. Usually the night before, I think what happens is they have them in for a dinner at Lambeau Field. I think Mike McCarthy speaks to them. I don't know how many other people's do. Sometimes they've had guest speakers speak to the rookies. They've had videos kind of explaining the history of football in Green Bay. Your typical orientation as you would think, like a little bit how freshman orientation is at college. That's what happened yesterday. Today, the players hit the field at 4 p.m. Central Time, local time. They're going to the Don Hutson Center for the first practice. And who takes place in this? It's the rookies, so the draft choices. It's the undrafted free agents, the guys the Packers signed. There will be a handful of tryout players. I know in the past it's probably numbered around 20 players they bring in for tryouts. Among those 20, they'll sign a handful of them. I think the Packers currently have 6 open roster spots. So there's a lot there that the Packers can sign players if they want to. They might leave, 1-2 spots open just for to be covered if there's an injury or they want to add a veteran. We speculate about the Packers possibly adding a veteran safety. Maybe they leave a spot open so sometime in the future they can sign Charles Woodson, perhaps. We'll get to Charles Woodson, too, because he made headlines a little bit yesterday. So tryout players. And then I think first-year players can participate in rookie orientation camp too. First year, you think all rookies are first year players, right? But the NFL designates, they make these specific designations for players who perhaps got signed last year but never played. That these are like practice squad players. So, one of the guys a name you might recognize as a first year player would be quarterback BJ Coleman, a draft choice last year, but he never was on the 53-man roster. He was on the practice squad all year. So technically BJ Coleman is no longer a rookie. He's a, quote unquote, first year player. So he might be taking place in rookie orientation camp this weekend. I don't know, sometimes, this is all my speculation and based upon past experience. things that the Packers have done in the past. I can't, you know, I didn't talk to Mike McCarthy and asked him if BJ Coleman's taking part this weekend. He may or may not be, but I'm just shedding a little light on the topic of what the Packers have done in the past. So that's what's happening. In fact, this evening then, after practice is at 4 p.m., there's no set date of when it ends, but you got to imagine hour and a half, 2 hours maybe. Probably not going to exceed 2 hours for the first practice ever, but so probably you're looking at around 5:30 p.m. or so. The Packers will be broadcasting Mike McCarthy's post-practice press conference live at Packers.com, the team's official website. So check that out somewhere around probably, I'm estimating, 5:30 p.m. or so. If you want to see Mike McCarthy talk about the rookie class and whatever else the beat reporters might come up with. But, among the things that happened yesterday in news of the Green Bay Packers is Charles Woodson. I just brought him up before about the Packers potentially signing a free agent safety. And he was on the NFL Network yesterday. He made the rounds at the NFL Network. He appeared on a bunch of shows, right? That's how it typically happens. He goes there to their headquarters and does just about everything there is to do at the NFL Network. So he was on what? Total Access. He was on Rich Eisen's podcast. He was on their Top 100 reaction show, in which Charles Woodson was recently rated as the 85th best player in the NFL. I'm not sure how that happened after his 2012 season, in which he basically played how many games? Six? I don't even remember. He was out more than half the season, came back for the playoffs. That's beside the point right now. I do think Charles Woodson can still maybe hack it in the NFL as a backup. I think if you're going to rely upon him as your starter, that might be a mistake. But the thing is, teams don't want to, have such an old veteran player who's 37 years old as a backup. They're like, if we're going to have a backup, it might as well be a young guy that we can develop. And, you know, hopefully he'll come up along the line somewhere and help us out later. So that's why nobody wants to sign Charles Woodson. That, and he's lost a few steps from what he used to be. But, you know, for a team that's looking for perhaps a veteran influence, you know, he could be your at least a one-year answer to a team. I think, I think if you're relying upon him to be an integral part of your defense, the missing piece, I'm not sure that's going to happen. I still think he's a very savvy guy, very knowledgeable, a guy who can read a quarterback and get a few interceptions here and there. I think he has that ability. But, it's just not there anymore in terms of speed. And, you know, he's not going to keep up with most of the receivers in the NFL now. But, yeah, so he was on the NFL Network yesterday. And I do have a couple quotes from him here. Things he said in his interview yesterday, and he specifically was asked about potentially returning to the Packers, and here's what Charles Woodson said, quote, "I don't want to speculate on that because I have not heard anything from Green Bay. We parted our ways a couple months ago. They told me they were moving on. I guess I took that to mean there was no opportunity to go back, so I am looking for a future with another organization," end quote. So there you go. I mean, Charles Woodson saying no opportunity, which, you kind of thought maybe post NFL draft when the Packers didn't take a safety, you thought, well, here's an opportunity for, you know, the Packers maybe bring Charles Woodson back on a much lesser contract because I do think the Packers could use a veteran safety. They beyond Morgan Burnett, there's not a whole lot of sure things. And you know, we broke down the secondary in depth our last episode here Wednesday at Railbird Central. But you know, from all indications, it looks like they're going to give every opportunity to primarily Jerron McMillan, I think, and to a lesser extent MD Jennings. And they're going to go with those guys opposite Morgan Burnett. They're going to run with them. They're going to be the starters. They're going to be the primary players. But I guess what I see here is rosters are at 90 now. You can have 90 people on your roster. I think it would behoove the Packers to bring in a veteran now at safety in case anything happens, whether it's Charles Woodson. And by the way, you know, I know Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel threw this out there. He threw up perhaps Gerald Sensabaugh of the Dallas Cowboys, was a starter for the Cowboys last year. He just retired. Apparently happened yesterday. So Gerald Sensabaugh, I guess, is out of the question, maybe. Well, I mean, one phone call could probably change his mind about coming out of retirement. But I guess he retired yesterday. Or maybe it's the day before. Kerry Rhodes, formerly of the Arizona Cardinals and several other teams that he played with previously, but he's an option out there. And even former Packers Atari Bigby and Charlie Pepper, you know, they're out there in free agency as well. I think it would. AJ Atagwe of the Rams too. I thought it'd be good if the Packers signed one of these guys, you know, just in case. You know what happens if all of a sudden either Morgan Burnett or Jerron McMillan gets injured? You know, all of a sudden, that's a pretty scary situation at safety if one of those guys gets injured. That's why I think you bring in the veteran now. I mean, maybe it's somebody, if Jerron McMillan and MD Jennings and Morgan Burnett stay healthy, maybe he's this veteran you sign. Let's say they sign Kerry Rhodes. Well, maybe you cut him in September, right, you know, at the end of training camp. Yeah, no big deal. But you bring him in now, at least he learns the defense. You've got the insurance policy. He's there. You know, that's the way I think the Packers should go about this. I just think they're rolling the dice a little bit on, you know, on all these young safeties. It scares me a little bit, you know, from a fan standpoint. See what the Packers are doing there. John says on the live blog, I don't really like any of the veterans that are available. Very true. I mean, there's not a whole lot of, you know, guys that are going to strike fear into the hearts of opponents there. But Evan asks, what's the book on Kerry Rhodes? Kerry Rhodes was a second-team All-Pro back in 2007. You know, so he at one point was one of the better safeties in the NFL. And just last year, he had 4 interceptions with the Arizona Cardinals, for what it's worth. You know, I'm sure he's younger than Charles Woodson. I think Kerry Rhodes, I looked this up, I think he was a rookie in 2005. So, you know, you're getting to the point is what? He's 8 years into his NFL career, going on the 9th, I guess. Or is it going? Yeah, whatever. Obviously, there aren't any high-profile guys here. But I think, you know, as long as you can get a veteran here for something that's not going to cost you a whole lot of money, again, as long as you sign him to a minimal contract, there is no risk, right? That's the way I see it. There's very little risk, because if you sign him to a minimal contract, then you can cut him at any point and be no worse for the wear, as long as there's no guaranteed money involved, you know? And I'm sure that's what the Packers are kind of considering, too. They don't want to give a signing bonus to any of these guys. They don't want to give away that guaranteed money. They'd probably be like, fine, if you want to just sign, like Cedric Benson did last year. Packers gave him the NFL minimum. In fact, they even had to negotiate his contract. If he ended up on injured reserve, they wouldn't have to pay him as much. ends up he did get land on injured reserve, so the Packers saved a couple bucks there. But maybe they're trying to do the same thing with a veteran safety. Like I said, I think the Packers have six spots open on the roster right now. And by the end of the weekend, they'll be signing several of these tryout players. So, yeah, by the end of the weekend, folks, there's going to be several new members of the Packers. These rookies here on a tryout basis. It would be fun to watch rookie orientation camp this weekend. Because these guys will be going all out. These rookies will be like, there's a job on the line here. Because every year it happens. Typically, they don't have as many as six spots open. I know it's usually been like two, three, maybe four, something like that. Never as many as six. So Packers do have some room to maneuver here. Bring some guys in, try some guys out, see who's good, see who's going to stick. So anyway. That's where we're at here, kind of wrapping up the Charles Woodson discussion for now. No contact from the Green Bay Packers. He also says he hasn't been contacted from them. So, things could change. As everybody says, never say never. But as of right now, it doesn't look like that the Packers and Charles Woodson are going to happen. What else here? I kind of am holding off on this Eddie Lacy toe injury story here because, you know, that's the news of the day in the world of the Green Bay Packers. You know, it's been a hot button issue ever since the draft when he fell and you kind of wondered why. And then it comes out that, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers say they passed on him because of his medical injury, and then the Denver Broncos, you know, had the choice between him and Monty Ball, and they were influenced at least by Eddie Lacy's toe injury. So, that's why this is a hot topic, and we're gonna have Tyler Dunn on here at 9 a.m. to kind of break this down and talk about Eddie Lacy's toe injury. So, kind of waiting on that here. I kind of been holding off waiting on that discussion, but we can talk about rookie orientation camp here a little bit and these other rookies coming in. It's first chance to see Dayton Jones, the first round draft choice of the Green Bay Packers. It'll be exciting to see him. Yesterday at Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV, I published an article, a column titled "One Burning Question for Every Packers Rookie as Orientation Camp Begins." And I threw out a question for every rookie, kind of the one biggest thing everybody's wondering, perhaps, or one of the biggest things people are wondering about these rookies. And for Dayton Jones, Dre Divock says on the live blog, "I'm really liking Dayton's attitude." Yeah, he really is interacting with fans a lot on Twitter, I noticed. So that's good to see from Dayton Jones. I'm sure he's getting a lot of love from Packer Nation being the first round draft choice. My question for Dayton Jones is he a three down player year one? In his rookie year, is he a three down player? And perhaps that was what I published yesterday in my column, in my article. I might add to that today for a little discussion on the show here about whether the Packers want him to be a three-down player. First of all, we see currently the Packers have the defensive line is one of the deepest positions on the team. There's 10 players right now signed at the defensive line position. By the end of the weekend, depending upon what happens at, you know, orientation camp and these tryout players, it could even be more than that. But they currently have 10 defensive linemen on the roster. This is a team that more often than not only uses two defensive linemen on the field at any one time. So there's like, they have more defensive linemen than they know what to do with and actually use. So there's a lot of depth. And, you know, that's not something the Packers have had on the defensive line the past few years. It's been such a argument, such a, you know, kind of this push and pull type of thing about B.J. Raji and him being on the field so much, people have wondered, are they wearing BJ Raji down? And this has happened the past few years, pretty much ever since 2010, when he's, you know, the best defensive lineman on the roster. So they want him out there from first through third down. You know, they want him out there running downs as well as passing downs and never giving him a break, never letting him be fresh. And people have wondered, well, maybe that's why BJ Raji hasn't been quite as good since 2010. You know, he peaked the second year of his NFL career, you know, so far. Not to say he can't get back to that level, but in 2010, the Super Bowl season, that's when Raji was lights out. You know, and he's basically always been on the field because he's the best combination of a run stuffer and pass rusher the Packers have had. You know, he does those things the best out of any player on the roster. You know, Ryan Pickett's really good at stuffing the run. That's what he does best. Mike Daniels is really good at rushing the passer. That's what he does best. But Raji is kind of the best all-around guy. So he's been on the field a lot. And so now I bring this up with Dayton Jones. Do they want him to be a three-down player? Do they want him to be on their all every down, first down, second down, third down, wearing him down, just like they did Raji? So, but I guess I bring this up here too, in that finally the Packers have some depth. There's the opportunity for more rotation now than at any point in the last, at least since Cullen Jenkins was around. That there's a chance that they can keep these guys fresh a little bit if they so choose. Now, if it ends up Dayton Jones is just head and shoulders above everybody else, maybe you don't want to rotate him so much. Maybe you want him out there all the time. But the opportunity is probably there for a heavy rotation, the type of thing where you can have BJ Raji and CJ Wilson, the run stuffers, have those guys on the field on first down, maybe second down. Then you rotate them out. You got the designated pass rushers. You got Mike Daniels and Mike Neal, the kind of guys who are best at rushing the passer. Those guys can be there on the passing downs when it's third and 10. And then you kind of got the guys who are at least you think, the all-around guys, BJ Raji and Dayton Jones, who are kind of good at both. Or, you know, in the case of Dayton Jones, you hope he's going to be good at both. So, you know, that's what you're looking at with Dayton Jones. Kind of questions that start to be answered this weekend. Not that they're going to be answered in full by the time rookie orientation camp is done, but they start to get answered this weekend as you see them in pads finally. Well, they might not wear pads this weekend, right? Rookie orientation camp, they probably have them just in shells. Probably wear helmets, but no pads. So anyway, and mini camp starts shortly thereafter, or I should say OTAs, organized team activities. Those begin in, what, just another week, I believe? So, after mini camp, the rookies are free to stay in Green Bay, I believe, and they'll take part in the Packers off-season program, the strength and conditioning, all those kind of things, IPWs, individual positional workouts. And then OTAs begin and practices begin again for the whole team, not just rookies. So that's what we're looking at as we kind of wait here for Tyler Dunn to join us in just a couple minutes here at 9 a.m. Central Time to talk about Eddie Lacy's toe injury. Another thing here, speaking of running backs and Eddie Lacy, is the other running back in Green Bay, Jonathan Franklin, who the Packers drafted in the fourth round, kind of the insurance policy to Eddie Lacy, where he's going to be at now that we've learned he is going to be ineligible for OTAs because he has A, not graduated, and B, the final exam schedule in at UCLA doesn't happen till mid-June, I believe. So apparently Jonathan Franklin cannot take part in OTAs until after final exams are over, mid-June. And that's basically when Packers OTAs end. You know, so he's going to miss most of the offseason program. I guess he can take part in the mandatory mini camp that happens kind of in early June, I believe, for the Packers. So Jonathan Franklin can take part in that. It's just kind of these weird rules from the NFL that really don't make a whole lot of sense to me. Because, you know, the way I view it is Jonathan Franklin, even though he's an underclassman, he made a choice to go pro, to join the NFL. If I were going to college and I got a job offer, I could drop out of college at any time. Nobody could stop me from dropping out of college, right? It seems weird to me that there's these rules saying they gotta stay at school till final exams, or they can't put a gun to Jonathan Franklin's head and make him go to class. For all I know, he could be just skipping his classes and exams or whatever. Not to say he is, but it's weird. I mean, what if the Packers just by chance drafted somebody who wasn't even in college? They can do it. There's nothing stopping that. I mean, you're kind of almost, I don't know what to say. It's just such a weird rule that I think it was. Kyle Cousineau says, wasn't Franklin a senior? My bad. That's right. He was in the Senior Bowl. Whatever. He hasn't graduated, though. He was a senior, but he hasn't graduated yet. I don't even know if he's on track to graduate here at the end of the spring semester. Maybe. But, it's such a weird rule that he's not able to participate here in OTAs, so... the Green Bay Press Gazette says he's going to be there this weekend, though. He's going to be at rookie orientation camp, perhaps practicing as soon as today. So, he is, the mandatory mini camp, he will be around. He just won't be as practicing as much as his other rookie teammates. So, there you go. John says on the live blog, I think Franklin will be in more on passing situations as a third down back. That could be the case, John. From everything I hear about Jonathan Franklin, he's a great pass protector. Of course, in Green Bay, that's really important when Aaron Rodgers is on your team and you got to protect the quarterback. On top of that, he's a decent receiver out of the backfield, and he also shows some speed. So, it makes sense to me that Jonathan Franklin could be a third down back. Now, there's kind of also this argument as well, and Mike McCarthy has said this in the past in interviews as well, that he's maybe kind of getting away from, kind of roles like that, and perhaps it's more a thing where they switch in and out, like this series, Eddie Lacy will be on the field, next series, Jonathan Franklin on the field, rather than a strict third down back. But regardless, I think anytime it's, third and one, you're going to see Eddie Lacy on the field, no matter whose series it is. But here, let me call Tyler Dunn here, and we're going to talk more about Eddie Lacy here and his toe injury. And you'll hear him here. Phone ringing. Tyler, you're live on Railbird Central. How you doing this morning?
Doing great. Thanks a lot for having me, my man. Good to catch up again.
Yeah, same here. You published the big article yesterday on Eddie Lacy, and that's what we're all wondering here as rookie orientation camp's beginning here, as we talk about on Railbird Central. Tell us more about Eddie Lacy's toe fusion surgery. You're not a doctor, but you play one here on Railbird Central, Tyler. tell me more about what you learned about this surgery.
That is true. Took one exercise science class, and I don't know if I want to repeat the grade on there. I think that was the number one big question come out of the draft if you're the Packers. What's up with this toe? So basically, I talked to a few doctors in the Milwaukee area. about toe fusion surgery, what it entails. And basically what they told me was your big toe will harden completely. You can make it like a rocking chair type of formation, which would help with your mobility a little bit. But, you know, a couple did express concern, you know, that Eddie Lacy might have to push off of it differently. It could affect his running style long term. They thought he'd be able to play and wouldn't have any more turf toe problems in the future. But then I talked to Eddie Lacy himself. I talked to his team doctor at Alabama, and his toe fusion surgery was a lot different. You know, his doctor really was reluctant to use that term, that phrase, toe fusion surgery. He said that you should really call it a turf toe surgery, because the whole fusion, typically you fuse the entire toe, and that you fuse bone with the whole toe. With Eddie Lacy, it was only underneath the tip, or underneath the toenail, so the tip of his toe. So basically, he can still bend it. He can still move it like he always been able to. And to the team doctor, he said, look, the guy had 200-plus carries. He went through the whole season with no problems. He never visited the training room, never had to consult with the doctor on the sideline during a game, during a practice, about the toe. So he thinks he's going to be perfectly fine.
Of course, Eddie Lacy himself and the team doctor at Alabama have Eddie Lacy's best interest at heart. What is the chance that they're just telling you what you want to hear?
Right. I mean, you have to be skeptical with all of this. I mean, I think the fact that Denver, Pittsburgh, I mean, those are the two teams, at least publicly, we found out passed on Eddie Lacy because of the toe, because of the toe fusion surgery that he did have. So I think just that alone should, you know, give you a little bit of concern. And this is something that it's not necessarily common. A lot of running backs don't come into the league with problems with their toe in general. So, I mean, if you're a GM, your team, you need a running back, you're probably going to take somebody who doesn't have a toe problem over somebody who does. And I think that alone can scare you off. But, you know, as far as they're concerned, they think that he overcame the rough patch, and that if there was going to be a problem, it would have showed up right after the surgery. Only time's going to tell who was right on this. The Green Bay, I mean, they've been really focused on health, and they don't necessarily want injured guys this year. It's been written about, and they've kind of been hedging their bets that direction. You know, obviously they released DJ Smith, somebody coming off a torn ACL. They don't want a lot to do with injuries. So I think that they had to do their homework on Eddie Lacy. They know what they're getting themselves into.
I know your colleague there, Bob McGinn, has wrote a lot about the whole it wanting to avoid injured players, but I kind of look at it, they drafted Dayton Jones in the first round. He's a guy who spent a whole year because of a broken ankle away from football. They draft Eddie Lacy, who has toe fusion surgery. Did they really avoid injured players in the draft?
I think that both players did come back from those injuries and played. So in a sense, you can have a little peace of mind in knowing that it's not like they took a guy who had an injury just this past season. I mean, with Justin Harrell a few years back, I mean, that was pretty fresh, his injury. That was a major red flag when he had the torn bicep coming in. So in that sense, it is a little different. But you're right, any injuries, you have to be concerned. But a lot of these guys in this draft are dealing with injuries, especially with where Green Bay's picking. You know, they decided to take the calculated gamble on the more talented player, the player with more upside, Dayton Jones over Sylvester Williams, Eddie Lacy over another back at that spot, or even a lineman at that spot. We're looking for impact guys, players who can step in and make a difference sooner rather than later. So with that came some calculated gambles, I guess you could say. And another point that you raised there, too, is with both players, you know, Green Bay, they came back and drafted somebody else at that position. So Jonathan Franklin at running back, you know, Boyd on the defensive line later on. They tackled, they doubled up as well. We'll see what happens. I mean, these things could backfire. I think last year's draft class, you have to look at that group closely as well. I mean, who knows how they're going to pan out as a whole. But this year, I do kind of like what Thompson and Green Bay did in the draft.
I am surprised myself that these other teams express this concern about Eddie Lacy when it was already known going, well, I don't know how well known it was, but he had the surgery prior to his senior year. Then he goes out and has a monster senior year. He showed he can play with it. So yeah. I'm not sure why teams are so scared off. Do you know why that would be after proving himself?
I just think that in general, gosh, you think about James Starks and his turf toe last year and just how long it took for him to shake that injury and come back from that.
Mm-hmm.
In general, boy, I mean, turf toe is a nasty, nasty injury. And for any running back, I mean, it can end careers in some cases. So I just think that in general, teams didn't want anything to do with Eddie Lacy and anything he dealt with his toe. But like you said, the doctor and Eddie Lacy, they're going to say the right things, and the doctor definitely would have Eddie Lacy's best place at heart. But according to him, I mean, this surgery was performed and conducted to prevent turf toe injury down the road. He says he will not have turf toe problems because that's what the surgery is meant to have. So, I mean, there was a sense of, maybe I'll be a little bit ticked off that the teams could have been short-sighted in that whole approach with Lacy. We'll see. I mean, we'll see who's right here because, some teams passed on Eddie Lacy, and Green Bay took them.
I've seen this in my mind already, Tyler. I want to see this happen in the locker room. The first opportunity for Eddie Lacy to meet the core of reporters, I want somebody to ask him to take his sock off and for him to bend his toe, and everybody's doing the close-up on the toe. Can you do that for me?
Hey, we could try. That's a good call. Yeah. I don't know. Well, first impressions. You don't want to scare a rookie off by just take out that sock there, Eddie. it should be interesting today. This is the first time we really get to talk to these guys in person.
Rookie orientation camp begins today. They hit the practice field. Who's an undrafted rookie? They signed 10 of these guys, or at least reportedly. Apparently they got to pass their physicals, but who's a guy from this undrafted class who we should be looking out for, who's going to maybe make some noise?
You know, I do like Miles White, the receiver out of Louisiana Tech, similar to Charles Johnson in that he started off at a different school, transferred, kind of bounced around a little bit, went to a community college and settled in at Louisiana Tech. And it was kind of overshadowed by Quentin Patton, who was eventually drafted, I believe, in the fourth round of San Francisco. But yeah, he was productive at Louisiana Tech in a wide open offense. He can run in the 4.3s, has a lot of speed, confident guy, and a wide receiver is just so wide open. I mean, so unlike last year, I remember one of the big offseason storylines was the number 5 and number 6,
yeah,
number 7 receivers, and Torrey Gurley, DeAndre Burrell, and eventually Jarrett Boykin overcame both of them. I mean, this year, he had the top 3, and it's just wide open after Nelson, Cobb, and Jones. So White has a real shot, Charles Johnson has a real shot, and Kevin Dorsey does as well. So I think it's definitely worth keeping an eye on the receivers.
You bring back some memories there. How many articles were written about Torrey Gurley and DeAndre Burrell, and neither of them even with the team anymore?
Guilty as charged. That's around the practice squad for a reason. I mean, Gurley, 6'4". Bigger guy, unlike the other receivers, DeAndre Burrell, comfortable in the slot, seemed like he fit into the offense well, but immediately in training camp, I mean, Donald Driver had that one practice, I think he caught like 3 touchdowns, and it was no contest. I mean, they never challenged. They were banged up a little, and they never even challenged him.
Yeah, very true. Tyler, thanks so much for taking a little time out of your schedule here to talk about Eddie Lacy and the Packers. We appreciate you joining us, and we'll let you get back to work here. What time's practice? 4 p.m.?
Right. Yep. It's we're talking Central Time, so yep, it'll be right around then later in the day. The locker room is opened up, I believe, around 11, so hopefully we'll have some updates and sound bites from these players before then, too.
Very cool. We'll be looking at the JS Online blog. So thanks a lot, Tyler, and we'll talk to you again later.
Good time, Brian. Thanks a lot.
All right. Take care. Tyler Dunn joining us here at Railbird Central. Thanks to him for joining us, and thanks to you for listening to us. And that'll wrap things up here on a Friday morning edition of Railbird Central here at CheeseheadTV.com. We'll see you later, everyone. We'll be back on Monday with another episode. We'll be wrapping up Rookie Orientation Camp. We'll be talking about everything that goes on, maybe some of the new signings that they end up doing here after the weekend's over, if they release those names by then. We'll see. But on behalf of everyone at Cheesehead TV, even Jamie Jors, who's not joining us today, I'm Brian Caribou. We'll see you later, everyone. I leave you today with a song called Sometimes a River by String Cheese Incident on Cy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go, Pack. Go.